Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So we're in this new sermon series that's called On Purpose. On Purpose. So over the last few months, I think I can say we've been in this sermon series that's called All In. But now we're shifting to On Purpose. In particular, we're dealing with this area of our identity. And so we've been looking at the life of Jacob and Esau. And so here's one of the first questions that I'll ask. And we can go to the, see if my little clicker is working. So what areas of our life do we need to challenge ourselves to live out on purpose? And so some of the examples of maybe it's, I need to start praying on purpose. Maybe, you know, y'all are here at church, but I need to start going to church on purpose, right? We were joking in the back. I was like, man, folks coming in real slow today. I was like, because it's hot outside. And it was like, so I'm joking when I say this. When somebody say, if my car don't cool off, I ain't going to church. But sometimes we do things like that, you know, like if I wake up on time, then I'll go to church. But what God, I think, is challenging us to do is do it on purpose, right? Don't wait until, you know, the conditions are right and all of that. Make it up in our mind that I'm going to do this on purpose. I'm going to read my Bible on purpose. Like, I'm going to make and I'm not going to do like I used to do when I first gave my life to Christ. Anybody do this? You just flip the pages and you say, Lord, whatever you want me to read, like, I just turn the page and it opens there, right? But reading the word on purpose, loving or being nice, like he said, on purpose. How about this one? This is not deep and spiritual. Taking care of our physical body or our health on purpose. I think y'all see the message there. But wherever it is that we are in our life, maybe one by one, or if God has given us multiple areas, what areas do we need to challenge ourselves to live on purpose? Amen. So what's that area for us? We talked about a little bit last week that sometimes it's difficult for us to live our life on purpose because sometimes we don't know who we are. And so how do I live my life, or how do I even go in all in on purpose if I'm struggling with my identity? And so Jacob, when we look at Jacob and Esau, this story is amazing. I think last week it kind of got really deep when we talked about this area of what if we're dealing with certain things over here in life because of something over here that I did? You know, sometimes it's the devil did it. And it's like, no, you did it. Track it back. And we talked about how Esau sold his birthright. And so the firstborn, back in this culture, the firstborn of every family received a birthright. They received a blessing. But Esau, he comes out from the field and he's hungry and he sees that his brother Jacob has some stew, some red stew. And he says, hey, give me that. And Jacob, being the trickster that he was named, remember we talked about that last week, the trickster that he was named, supplanter, trickster, swindler, he goes ahead and says, hey, if you want some of this stew, sell me your birthright. And Esau, I'm paraphrasing this, Esau says, man, what good is a birthright if I die? And he sells it to him. And he's like, you know, he goes on. And then we catch up to where we're going to be today, where now Jacob tricks his father Isaac and receives the blessing of the firstborn. And we're going to catch up with Esau where he is torn apart. Here are some of the areas that I'm asking us to kind of lean into today. Is there something that happened in our life some time ago that we are still angry about? That we are still frustrated about? And we're going to see that Esau is so angry to the point where he says, when my father die, I'm going to kill Jacob. And we're going to see it in the scripture. So I'm going to kind of like put this out there ahead of time. Is there something in our life that happened to us? Maybe somebody did something to us, or maybe I did something. So a lot of times we're actually upset with ourselves. Sometimes we actually got to forgive ourselves. What if it's not the other person, right? But whatever it is, what happened in the past that I might still be entangled with, that I am angry. I am so upset that it's like a yoke around my neck. And it's hard for me right now to do things on purpose for God because I'm yoked up to something that happened a long time ago. Amen? Y'all ready? All right, let's go. So we'll look through some of the scriptures and then we'll keep moving. So it says, as soon as Isaac finished blessing Jacob. So this is in Isaiah 27, 30. It says, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob scarcely gone out from the presence of his father Isaac, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. So again, just to catch you up, Rebekah loved Jacob more than she loved Esau. Isaac loved Esau more. Isaac loved Esau because Esau was a hunter. And so what he wanted was, Isaac was saying, hey, I'm about to die, so go out there, go hunt me some games, get me some food, make it the way that I like it so that I can bless you. Rebekah is eavesdropping and she hears it. And she says, hey, Jacob, and I'm kind of paraphrasing this, Jacob, go do the stuff that your brother would do and all that kind of stuff. We're going to put some hair on your arm so that your father can bless you before he dies. And this is where we are right here. So Jacob just gave Isaac some food. So then Esau, he comes in, verse 23, had also prepared savory food and brought it to his father and said to him, let my father arise, eat of his son's game, that you may bless me. Are y'all seeing this imagery? I don't know if Jacob kind of tiptoed away while Esau was coming, but Jacob knew exactly what he was doing. And then it says, Isaac, his father, said to him, he's talking to Esau. He says, who are you? Now, remember, Isaac is losing his sight, so he cannot see who the son is. He says, father, who are you? And Esau replied, he says, I am your son, your firstborn son, Esau. There's a little note that I want to add in here. Physically, this is talking about our life. Physically, we can still be the firstborn, but something shifted spiritually because of previous events in our life. So some people may say, man, physically, you look good. Or physically, you still have that job. Or physically, you're still married. But something happened in the past that previously actually shifted something. So Esau was trying to come and say, hey, I'm still your firstborn. But Isaac was saying, I'm sorry, the blessing that was for you, I gave it to someone else. But please don't forget, back in Genesis 25, Esau sold his birthright. I don't think we can dismiss that. I don't think that we can dismiss the fact that the spiritual blessing, the Abrahamic or the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob blessing that was supposed to come to Esau was not, because Esau literally disregarded the blessing and gave it and sold it to someone else. And so this is where I'm asking us to really trace it back. Is there something that happened previously, but we're physically standing in front of Isaac and saying, hey, I'm still your firstborn. But God is saying, even though physically you're still in that position, something shifted spiritually. And today God is saying, what is that? There's a scripture, and I mentioned it last week, where Paul was saying sometimes when we're praying and we don't know where we're aiming at, it's like beating in the wind. And at times we are fighting something that we cannot see because physically we're still in the position. We're still showing up for work. We're still showing up every day. But something shifted and things are a little bit harder now because we're not paying attention to what happened in the past. Amen? Amen. And so Esau shows up. He's saying, look, look, it's your firstborn. Notice that he uses that terminology. It's your firstborn son, Esau, verse 33. And then Isaac, he trembled. Isaac, he actually trembled and shook violently. And he said, who? He says, where is he who has hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate all of it before you came. And I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. So Isaac is literally, he's like, oh my gosh, why is Isaac shaking and trembling? Because Isaac realized that he cannot take back the blessing that he gave to Jacob. It was that important. Once the father spoke over the sons, it was done. So now Isaac is saying, like, oh my gosh, imagine this older man who is blind, shaken violently because he realized what he did, he cannot take back. Wow. So what do you think is Esau's response? Oh, Dad, that's fine. I'm good. I'll just go find something else to do. He doesn't. It says when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with a great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, my father. So here's a question. Did Esau cry out with a bitter cry because he realized that he sold his birthright years ago? Or was he so concerned about the blessing? I believe in this verse right here, Esau is so like, oh man, I want all the blessings. I want all the blessings. And he's not looking back at that moment where he says, ah, I think I messed up some time ago. So here's if we can stop here for a moment, what are we more concerned about in life? Is it the blessing or my alignment with God? Is it being pleasing in God's sight, or is it the things that God can give me? Are we crying out loud because we just want, God, bless me, bless me, bless me indeed, bless me indeed? Or is it, God, I just want to be right in your sight? And I believe that Esau was crying because he realized that all of the inheritance, the physical things, that his father Isaac was going to pass down to him is gone. Man, what if some of us in our life right now are experiencing certain things because God is saying you got your eyes on the wrong thing? What if we're crying out for the wrong thing? What if we're crying out for the job or the money or the land or the houses and all of that? What if we're crying out for the wrong thing and God is saying, you know what? Until we wake up and cry out to him, we will continue to lack. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich in here and addeth no sorrow, pain, and toil in here in our heart. Amen. But what are we crying out for? So Esau, I believe, was crying out because he missed the materialistic things. And Isaac said to him in verse 35, he said, your brother, come on, it sounds like Adam and Eve, right? It was the woman you gave me. Isaac said, your brother, the dad says, your brother came with crafty cunning and treacherous deceit and has taken your blessing. Please remember this. Remember, Jacob's name aligns still with what Isaac is still calling him. Jacob's name was supplanter, trickster, swindler. It meant that he would do whatever he needed to do to take the place of someone else. So remember last week we talked about when the two boys came out, Jacob was holding the heel of Esau, and in that moment, his parents called him Jacob, trickster, swindler, deceitful. And Isaac is saying, remember the son who we called Jacob? He just being who it is that we've been calling him all this time. We said this because we did the child dedication. We have to watch what we are speaking over our children and our lives. Do you realize that sometimes we can repeat things that were said to us? You ever do something because somebody called you stupid and then you end up calling yourself stupid? I hope not, but if it is, uproot that. You ever call yourself, oh, you know, I'm good for nothing. Where did you get that playing in your mind? It is possible that growing up, somebody said that to you, and now you're just regurgitating it and speaking it yourself. And so when Jacob was moving to do what his mom was tricking him to do, he was just carrying out this is who they call me. So, you know, it's like a person saying, well, this is who you think I am anyway, so I'm going to just do it anyhow. This is what you expect of me anyway, so I'm just going to do it. But here's the question. What does God expect of us? Jacob will eventually get there, but Esau is struggling and his dad is literally saying, your brother, he's just being who it is that he is. And so if you can think for a moment, who have spoken over your life and called you something that does not align with God's will for your life? And do you believe that? And how do you shift that so that you start speaking who God called you to be? And some of our names, if you do research, some of our names might be something that's not good. Some of our nicknames that we're still carrying around with ourselves, and we're letting people call us these nicknames, are not good. But we're afraid to say to somebody, stop calling me that. That's not me anymore. You know, you go back home and they want to call you, oh, no, that's not me no more. Whether they believe it or not, don't let them speak that, or don't you speak that over your life. Amen? Amen. So I just want you to see that, like, Isaac and Rebecca are like literally nurturing this little boy, Jacob, to grow up to be this trickster, this deceitful person, and Jacob is just walking it out. We looked at this, the power, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it. Just putting that in there to say, please, we got to watch what we're saying, because whatever we say, we're going to eat the fruit of it, whether death or life. Amen? If you say, my life is crazy, guess what your life going to be? Crazy. And some people will say, but you got to be honest. Yes, be real. Man, life is like, woo, topsy-turvy right now. But God is with me. So don't just stay there in that pit. Man, my finances is, whoa. I feel like as soon as money come in, it goes out. But, right? And until the situation change, I will not speak death to it. I will speak life to it. Because whatever I speak, I will have it. Amen. Whatever fruit is coming forward, if I don't like it, don't say it. Amen. Or if you're being real with someone, be real, but then say, but. Uh-huh. Don't stay in that pit. I'll never get anywhere on this job. But you know what? I believe God is going to make a way for me. Amen. And it's not faking it. It's speaking in line with what God's word said. Yes. Amen. Don't stay there. Don't stick in the pit that you don't want to be in. Verse 36 says this. So Esau replied. He says, is he, he's talking about Jacob, is he not rightly named Jacob, supplanter? For he has supplanted me these two times. Ooh, so Esau's remembering what happened before. He took away my birthright, and now he has taken away my blessing. Hold on, Esau. I think they both tied together. He's treating it like it's two different things. And then he asked the father, have you not still a blessing reserved for me? Isaac says to him, Esau, behold, I have made Jacob your lord and master. This is heavy stuff. I have given all his brethren to him for servants, and with corn and new wine have I sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? And Esau says to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? He says, bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up. He could not control his voice, and he wept aloud. I believe that at this point, Esau realized that what I did back here is tied to what's going on here. This is a different type of cry. And now he is upset. Wow. Because he realized that where I am and what I want is beyond what it is that I even let go some time ago. Before, I was after just the physical things. Now I realize that some time ago, I did something to put all of these events in order. And now I am crying out and asking my father on earth to be able to help me. It continues on in verse 39. And Isaac said to his father, He says, all right, you're going to get a blessing, but listen to what this blessing is. Your blessing and dwelling shall all come from the fruitless of the earth and from the dew of the heavens above. What he is saying is like, look, you were supposed to receive the firstborn blessing, but you're not. But you will have to work for what it is that you're going to get from the ground. So you will be blessed in that way. He says, by your sword you shall live and serve your brother. And here's the verse. But the time shall come when you will grow restive. What does that mean? I'm tired of this. And you will break loose, and you shall tear his yoke from off of your neck. Let me read this in a different translation. He says, but you shall live by the sword and serve your brother. He says, however, it shall come to pass when you will break loose from your anger and hatred, and that you will tear his yoke off of your neck, and you will be free of him. Wow. So his father is literally, I believe, speaking prophetically and saying, yes, the blessing went to Esau, and whether the father knew about him selling it and everything. Yes, it was you to put the things in order. And you know what? You will be blessed, but you're going to have to work on it. But listen, beyond all of this, this is the most important thing, Esau. There's a moment where you are going to get tired of your brother's yoke around your neck. And the reason why his yoke is around your neck is because you are angry and you hate him. And sometimes we don't realize that. That it's not God waiting for this special moment for us to become free. He actually says you're going to get to the point where you get tired of being so yoked to what hurt you that you are going to break it off. So here's a question in our life today. What's something that happened possibly to us in our life that we allowed the hands of anger and hatred within us, the hands from us of anger and hatred to wrap around our neck? And we've been walking around with that like a yoke around our neck, talking about it's because of this, it's because of what they did to me, it's because of that situation. And God is saying, when you get tired of that being around your neck, then you will loose it from you. Amen. What if the hand that is holding us back is us?
Amen. Yes.
He did not say that, however, it shall come to pass when you break loose from Esau's anger for you. Or Jacob's anger for you, or your mom's anger, or Isaac. He didn't say nothing about anybody else. He says, from your anger and hatred. So what if the yoke, what if the burden, what if the restriction is not someone else? What if it's my attitude towards someone else? What if it's, I hate them. Listen to this. I hate what happened to me. How about that? People, places, things. And God is saying that that anger and that hatred towards people or places or things is what's around your neck. And when you get tired of that being around your neck, then you will loose yourself of it. Man, it changes the perspective of what I'm going through in life. Wow. So God's strength that's made perfect in weakness is available to help us. But guess what? He's saying, I'm not just going to break it. You know why? Because if I break it, you know what you'll do? You pick it back up and put it back around your neck. And if I break it, you'll pick it up. Why? Because you're so used to carrying this around. It validates who you are.
Amen.
But look at what Esau says. You would think he got it. Verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart. So he didn't even speak it out loud. Do you realize that sometimes the things that we think are even more powerful than what we even say? Because this is what we're meditating upon. So I can imagine Esau kind of like, man, as soon as my dad dies, I'm going to kill him. And it's like, what's wrong with you? I'm blessed and highly favored. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And the days of mourning of my father are very near. When Isaac is gone, he says, I will kill my brother, be very specific, Jacob. Man. And we'll see next week that he does break it off and everything as well. But look at this place. Man. And so when Jesus comes, he says in the New Testament, you've heard that it was said, I'm going to paraphrase it, if a man sleeps with another woman, he commits. But I say, if you look at a woman in a lustful way in your heart, you sin against God. And so I believe that God is after our heart. So what is going on in our heart that, boy, if y'all can just kind of see this imagery, that out of us, I think there's a painting dealing with that, that out of our heart are these hands that's coming out, and it is our thoughts. It is what we think about people, places, things that is literally putting a yoke around our neck. And God is literally saying, hey, when you get tired of that, then you'll be able to loose yourself from it, because it's not Esau's hands around your neck. Amen. It's yours. Amen. It's not mom. It's not dad. And I can imagine that Esau was so upset. Why would mom Rebecca help Jacob? Dad, why would you not realize that that wasn't me that you were blessing? How come the servants in the house didn't say anything? Look, we go as far as this. Why did the animals have to die that they made the food with? Then some of us go way back. You know, why was I even born? Why am I even here? It is not always the hands externally that is dragging us down this area. It is the hands that is coming out of our heart that is dragging us down. And so sometimes we need to forgive ourselves. Father, forgive me for not regarding as precious the birthright that I sold. God, forgive me for that, right? Amen. Start there. Instead of saying, man, soon as pops die, I'm going to kill him. And this was a secret. Maybe he told some people, but this was a secret. And the reason why I'm saying it is because it says that he said it in his heart. So here's a question for us. Is there something in our heart that is causing us to be angry? Just like irritated. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like if the right conditions come, you ready to throw some chairs around? Like you ready to punch a wall? You ready to cuss somebody out? You ready to walk off the job? You ready to drive down a highway at 90 miles per hour hoping that you actually hit something? What is that, that rage that's on the inside of us? And we keep saying that it's this person, is this what they did to me? But really, it is my reflection. It's how I'm receiving that. It's what's going on within my heart. And God is saying, like, the moment you get sick and tired of it, then the process of being loose from it begins. God, free me from this. Are you tired of it yet? God, I rebuke. Are you tired of it yet? Because we cannot leave us. Amen. So God can knock down the walls of Jericho. But guess what? When you go in your tent, guess who's going in there with you? Me. ourselves. And there's no more walls. Physically, there's no more walls. But there's walls. It's going. And sometimes we think that something is still there because of what we think within our heart. They still laugh at me. They ain't thinking about you. They're trying to hold me down. They don't have the strength to hold you down. It's you. Come on. So, God is ready to help us. But he needs our participation. So, let's step in and say, Lord, I am frustrated. God, I hate this. God, I'm angry. God, I'm annoyed. I'm talking about them strong emotions. The ones that we see in our kids and we want to beat it out of them. But God ain't going to beat it out of us. He will call situations like coming to church on Sunday and say, hey, we need to deal with it. And we're all in this. We're all in this. Amen. And so here's our prayer today. It's God, what's in my heart that I need to address on purpose that will loose me to walk in my purpose? So God, what do I need to address within me on purpose that will loose me to begin to walk in my purpose?
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.